You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans general manager John Robinson joining the show here at 7:30. Looking forward to that conversation coming up with him later this hour. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, John Robinson also spoke with the media yesterday leading up to the NFL draft. You were part of that conversation. What were some of your takeaways from John Robinson and his conversations yesterday with the media?
I think my
did he lay out his entire draft plan?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway, and it's happens like this a lot, is how some people take things out of it that I don't.
Yeah.
Like, okay, look, I haven't mentioned him in days, but like Jared was like, did John Robinson just tell us what he's doing? I think it was like an all caps tweet.
Yeah.
I don't think he did. But I thought, you know, he had some good answers on stuff. And, again, some interesting things. I thought the medical situation thing was interesting. You think about someone like Caleb Farley. So, by my understanding of it, it was essentially the team's medical people went to Indy.
Yeah.
And so they collectively kind of split things up, you know, to give sort of pool reports on everyone, which obviously is very different from a normal year where, now it's better than last year, but it's different from a normal year where whoever you want to examine, or have your medical people sign off on, you can do that, you know. So that's one thing where maybe some of these guys, you know, the Caleb Farleys, the Jalen Phillipses of the world, or a little bit, you're not quite as sure about that. I thought, you know, the receiver stuff was interesting. You know, TD had a good question, basically, like slot versus outside.
Yeah,
and it kind of felt like, you know, that I think that the idea of them drafting a specific slot receiver, I don't have less of a feel for that. I think there's a real good chance of that. Also, the depth, I asked him about like the depth at those two positions, cornerback and receiver, and he had an interesting answer on that.
He did, and we will play that audio right now. Joe Rexroad asked John Robinson yesterday about the difference in the depth at wide receiver and at cornerback. Here's what John Robinson had to say.
Just wondering how you evaluate the depth in this draft at receiver and cornerback. I guess in particular at cornerback, is there a huge drop off from the first, you know, few guys to the next tier or whatever you call it? And then also, how did that influence the way you went about free agency? So I just got three in there for one for you there.
The old three for one special, Joe. No, I'll start with the receiver group. I think that, you know, that group, it's pretty balanced. From top to bottom, you know, you certainly have some premium players at the top. There's good depth players and role players really all throughout the draft. I think the corner group, there's some good players at the top and kind of in the middle. And then, you know, at the back side, in the back, you're kind of drafting some traits. There's some guys that are really fast at the back end. There's some guys that are really good tacklers. It's really kind of, you know, what you want for your football team. To what degree can they play in a kicking game? It's important for that position. So I think both position groups have pretty good volume. The receivers are maybe a little more evenly spread, let's say value-wise, maybe more so than the corners.
So what did you think of that response, particularly the end of that response there by John Robinson, talking about the receivers maybe being a little bit more evenly spread in terms of the value that they have compared to the cornerbacks?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it sound like he'd be a little bit more comfortable going higher for a corner, or, you know, or and waiting at receiver, right? I mean, is that That's the way I took it. So I still think both of those positions are going to be addressed pretty high in this draft, but that, you know, that maybe there's a little bit more. You can go a little deeper and still get a receiver you really like. You know, maybe a Tutu Atwell. We don't talk about him much. 155 pounds.
149.
Oh, that's right. He's 149. My goodness.
He came in a little bit less than the 155.
So me in seventh grade.
Okay. Yes. A little bit faster.
Nah, probably not seventh grade. Maybe 10th grade. 9th grade. Yeah, that was interesting. But both those positions are going to be very important. I also tried to ask a question about Ferks or later. You know, because the tight end, and actually Jared asked a good question about the tight end position, the blocking versus the receiving tight end.
Yep.
And I didn't come away thinking the Titans are all of a sudden Ferkser is going to be like this heavy inline tight end guy this year. I think Robinson used the word competitive a couple times to talk about his blocking. You know, I just think, first of all, it's not like this draft is loaded with the quote unquote like receiving tight ends. I mean, you know, yeah, I guess like Brevin Jordan might be more that type of guy. Maybe Freiermuth is more that type of guy. But I think they're going to go a little later and they're going to get one of those guys like a Trimble or a Long, something like that. And, you know, someone that you think can do both things, but they've got to add at inline blocking at that position, and I don't think his answer on Ferkser changes that.
No, I don't think so either. It was interesting kind of talking about the philosophy at tight end, because I do think sometimes we try to like pigeonhole these tight ends and, all right, this guy's either receiving tight end and this guy's a blocking tight end. And as John Robinson pointed out yesterday, like you've got to be able to block to some degree at the NFL level, because if you can't, number one, it's a tell every time you're on the field. You're going to be passing. Like, even a guy like Kyle Pitts, who is going to be great, he's going to have to demonstrate the ability to block at some level at the National Football League, because it's just part of the game. Like, you've got to have some level of deception in your offense as well. It can't be, well, you know, Tommy Tremble's on the field. They're running the ball. Like, there's got to be a mix that you can find there. So I think that's going to be important for the Titans. You would love to have somebody that's available to come in that you could find in the third or fourth round that's really good at both already. Probably not going to be to your liking at the NFL level that late in the draft. Can you get there? Like, can those players get where they're reliable in the blocking game, but also a threat in the passing game as well? I don't know if it's going to be immediate, but that needs to happen at some point this year, because right now, I do think tight end is a huge question for this team.
Yeah.
I like Anthony Ferkser, but I think it's a huge question.
No, I agree. And Jeff Swaim, well, he's big guy, you know, good in the run game. Still really interested in Michael Pruitt. I'm not sailing that ship that he could end up back here, but Ferkser is, you know, I'm looking at this answer. I mean, competitive guy, works hard, wants to be good at his craft, team guy, proud of his progress. You know, he's more than willing to do it. And that's, you know, there's no doubt. Again, Ferkser has not been a complete tell in this offense.
Nope.
You can't have that. But Jonnu Smith was a guy who I think, to your point, was the wow. I mean, this guy produced majorly in college, and he came in and learned, you know, in this offense, how you get on the field and how to be a better blocker. And, you know, he's just so physical in anything he did on the field. Not to mention being able to outrun people look, that guy's going to be, I think, really good in New England. But that's the case for get someone who you know has the ability downfield, and if they're physically capable, work on the blocking versus someone who's, you know, a capable blocker, and maybe you're not sure about, you know, what they can do downfield. I mean, if Dane Brugler is right about Hunter Long, and he's like another Austin Hooper, and you can get him in like the fourth round, or, you know,
feel pretty good about that.
Sign up for that.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes these comparisons are a little wacky, but I mean, Dane Brugler is pretty measured with how he compares players, so that sounds pretty good. I mean, if they they certainly don't need to do any extra work on Hunter Long.
No.
Like, they got a good feel for who he is.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans, including how likely is it that John Robinson moves around in the draft? Could he trade up? Could he trade back? We'll get to all that coming up next. Also get to your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Ryan Porth, much quicker today in his response time.
That was, he had some pipes on that one.
Yeah, he did.
I was more the Johnny pipes, on the spot there.
That voice is back to full strength, baby. Love it.
Better than last Monday.
Ryan Porth
or Tuesday.
Fired up here on the program today. Right now, talking Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John Robinson, Titans general manager, joining us at 7:30 here in about 12 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation coming up with him. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dave from Mount Juliet, who wants to weigh in. Dave, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexro.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I have a question. If Jalen Waddle was available at 22, would that be a route we could take?
If he's available at 22, yeah, you'll be taking that route. That's for sure. I mean, look, we've talked about him sliding maybe a little bit, and I've seen some mock drafts that have him getting down to the 14, 15, 16 range. He's not getting to 22. But if he's there, yes, take him.
Although if he's there, then I'm going to be like, what is going on? What am I missing here?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers did slide.
Yeah, but the quarterback slide is
it's a little different.
It's a little different. I mean, it basically, a couple teams that you think are going to go quarterback don't, then some teams just flat out, you know, are not going to.
Quarterback, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I mean, if Jalen Waddle were there, how could you not? But then you'd also be like, wait a minute. What are we missing here? What's the medical thing that we don't information that we don't have that other teams have or whatever it is? I'd be shocked if he's below 15. But if he got, let's say he got to like, you know, 17, 18 range or something.
Yeah. Could you trade up?
Do you start thinking about that? I think it's possible.
Well, I mean, John Robinson was pretty vocal yesterday in his press conference about the number of picks that he has. And, you know, what could be on the table for the Titans when it comes to moving around with some of those picks as well. Here's what Titans general manager John Robinson had to say yesterday about having four picks in the top 100.
John, is four picks in the top 100 a big number, a good number? How do you look at that? What's your opportunity here the first 2 days of this draft?
Wish I had more than four, but that's what we've got. We'll see what we can make out of that. You know, can we turn four into five or maybe six. I think, you know, I've got some calls to put in this week around the league with other GMs just to kind of gauge their willingness to move around, you know, Thursday night and Friday night. And we'll see how that, you know, those calls go this week. But I think everybody, you know, kind of knows that we're willing to kind of shuffle around. We have, you know, historically been a team that doesn't mind shuffling around pick-wise.
So that was John Robinson yesterday talking about having four top 100 picks, saying, yep, like to have a few more. I think John Robinson made it pretty clear yesterday to other teams around the league and to Titans fans. He is very willing and open to at least listening to move around. Like, I'm not saying that they're definitely going to move out of 22 because it takes a partner and it takes the right situation to do that. But I think it's pretty clear John Robinson is not committed to just hanging on at 22 and I'm staying there no matter what. He absolutely could move around a little bit in this draft, left it open for maybe moving up, also moving back and collecting more picks as well.
Yeah, and he made the important point, you don't move back just, you know, to move back.
Sure.
You move back with a purpose. You move either way with a purpose, and you've got particular people you want, and you know, I mean, it's no surprise to me that they would be open to that. It fits where they are with their roster, and it fits where they are in the first round, where some of the guys you may be really interested in don't have to be picked at 22. So the thing that doesn't get talked about enough, again, is You're talking about trading back. Okay, who's desperate to get to 22 and why? Because people aren't giving up draft capital to get into your spot unless there's a particular player they're worried about someone, you know, just behind you grabbing.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, are we allowed to get a money pool together this week as for J-Rob as an incentive to trade back? We need to get 5 picks in the top 100 or maybe 6 in the top 120. I don't think he's going to need incentive to trade back. Like if the deal's there and he feels like you could go from 22 to 26 or 22 to 28 in the first round and still get the player or a player that you really like in the first round, I don't think John Robinson's going to hesitate to do that if there's somebody willing to trade up. I mean, that's a part of this.
I mean, give the money to them.
Yeah, I mean, trading back sounds great. You also need somebody to trade up for. Like, you've got to have, I don't know, the Ravens or the Packers or somebody behind you say, man, I really want somebody. I really want Greg Newsom, and he's not going to make it here to 29 if I'm the Packers. Let me go up and get him. Like, that's you need a team to really like somebody to move up and do it. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you just get stuck in your spot, and there's nothing you can do. Like, it's going to be interesting to see the way the draft board unfolds and if that option is available for the Titans.
Yeah, and it happens within moments.
Yeah.
Because none of these teams know what the other team's going to do. And so that board, there's going to be some surprises. There's going to be some surprises in the top 15. There's always one or two at least. And so then that can totally alter the board. And if it happens, it'll be very late. And, yeah, maybe it's a Barmore. I mean, Barmore is a guy I look at. Like, if he's there, first of all, I think he'd be very intriguing for the Titans, but that's also a guy maybe someone says, oh, yeah. Like, what's Jacksonville at, 25? But
yeah, 25.
You know, do they worry that someone else, do they feel like they need to move up 3 spots? But then what are you getting out of that for a 3-spot, you know, for a 3-spot swap?
Right.
Probably nothing huge. You know, but that's just another. That's one of those guys I look at. Like, okay, I could see. In fact, now I forgot who did your beloved Packers move up for in my little mock with the writers?
Jeremiah.
Oh yeah, Owusu. Yeah. From Notre Dame. Yeah. Yeah, very good linebacker. So, I mean, it could be anybody, but again, it's just you got to have that team with that incentive, and the board has to break that way. I still think the most likely scenario is that the Titans take a pick at 22 on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to list that as the favorite, and we'll see what happens. But I think pretty clear that John Robinson is at least willing to move back. Now, you have some teams that, you know, you get to the top part of this draft, you better be getting a lot in return if you're moving away from number 9 or moving away from, you know, number 12 in the draft. You get started getting down in the 20s, I think you're more likely and more willing to move at that point. I mean, you've got to have, if you're picking at 22 – there's just so many different ways that it could go that you've got to have a lot of contingency plans if you're the Titans. Or if you're the Packers or the Ravens, whoever's picking the 20s. Like, you've got to have a lot of different options on the table. And if you don't feel great about any of them, or if you feel great about a lot of them and feel like you could get them a little bit later on, I think you're more willing to move around later on in the draft.
Yeah, no, for sure. But, you know, look, I think a guy like Newsom, if somehow he was there, yeah. I think that would be big for the Titans. It's very interesting. The Todd McShay item was interesting yesterday. He sort of had a notebook on some stuff he's gathered over the last few weeks, and TD, Trent Davenport, tweeted. But, you know, McShay said that every team he's talked to has Elijah Moore as the 4.
Yeah.
So this Elijah Moore thing isn't like some random, you know, some random misinformation campaign. I mean, obviously, a lot of teams really like him a lot. I still feel like he'd be a guy you could get a little later, but maybe I'm wrong about that. You know, I mean, and Elijah Moore, I've seen in some mocks going above 22.
Yeah.
So it's just, you don't know. And I think the Titans have multiple receiver, cornerback, and we've talked about the edges. I mean, to me, if you can get a guy in the front 7 who makes a difference, you know, that could be beneficial. By the way, did you see Ojulari? That was, I think it was Peter King had that.
Yeah.
that he mocked him out of the first round because of a knee thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Lots of options on the table for the Tennessee Titans at number 22. And we'll be joined next by Titans general manager John Robinson to discuss the NFL draft and all things Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. NFL Draft Week is finally upon us, and to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Tennessee Titans General Manager John Robinson. John, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you, guys. How are we doing this morning, man?
We are doing good. Great. Hope you are as well. And John, just what's it been like kind of getting to this point this year and preparing for the draft? Obviously, still not an ideal set of circumstances to prepare for the draft, but I'm sure last year provided a lot of practice in that area.
Yeah, and I would say, it's a lot better than it was last year, at least for me personally. Being able to sit in the draft room and meet and watch film and players back to back and have discussions, not having to communicate with our staff over a Wi-Fi connection, actually being able to sit in a room and talk has been good. And closer to normal, it's not fully normal, but it's much better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, John. If you say a normal year is 100, you're at the combine, you get your own medical people, you get the interviews in person, all the visits, all in person, that's 100. What would last year be, and then what would this year be?
Last year is about definitely less than 50. If we're going on some kind of number scale, pick any number less than 50. this year is probably 60, 75. There's nothing like, being able to bring, our 30 visit guys in, sit down, talk with them, get to know them. There's been several prospects that we, that we've ended up taking, not last year, not including last year, that may not have had, some teams would call and they would get wind that we had, prospect A in. And they'd be like, yeah, he didn't really do so well with us. And, we wouldn't show our cards, but we're thinking he did great with us. Just getting to know them on a personal level and how they're going to be in your building, you just can't do that over, a Zoom call. But I would say the Zoom calls this year were better than they were a year ago. I think the players, certainly are more accustomed to it after having gone through this pandemic for going on a year now. They were good. We spent a lot of time with these prospects, but there's nothing like the old way of doing things.
John, you spoke to the media yesterday and talked about kind of the medical process of all of this as well. And you guys have shown before, whether it was Corey Davis or Jeffrey Simmons, you're not afraid to select guys who have some injury history and who are dealing with things injury wise. How much different is that this year? How much more of a concern is that this year with some of these guys? Is it more of a concern at all?
Yeah, I think, there's certainly, we weren't able to get as much medical information on as many guys as we have in the past. The combine hosts anywhere from, 250 to 350 guys every year. And you get to see those guys come through and spend time with them, and they rotate. It's a full day event for each position group at the combine. And this year there was only 150 of those guys, and it was an expedited process. We were able to get information, but I think that the quantity of information on players, it's not as extensive as it has been in years past. So it's kind of forced our medical team, trainers, doctors, to do a lot of digging with the respective colleges and universities across the country to get that information that we need. And I would say that, tip of a hat to the agents, not that I want to tip my hat very often to them, but they've been really, really good this year about emailing MRIs, doctor's notes on their prospects, on their players that they represent, so that know, we have as accurate information on these guys as possible because they know how important that is in the decision-making process.
Would you say that you are less likely this year to take someone with questions in that way just because the information gathering hasn't been the same?
I would say we're too close to Thursday to reveal anything that we may or may not do.
Fair enough.
Very well
fair
done. Enough. Titans General Manager John Robinson on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, John, obviously, I mean, there's so much preparation that goes into that, and you're right now scheduled to be picking at number 22. What's the process like in the moment when you're on the clock, particularly in the first round, and you've got all these different scenarios, your board in mind as well, and you've got that window of time to make a decision? What's going through your mind at that point, the mind of everybody on your staff, trying to weigh those different scenarios, whether you're staying at 22 or trading back, trading up? What's that process like during that moment?
Well, there's not a lot of discussion. You know, we've already had those meetings. We've already talked through those scenarios. You know, it's usually I talk to Amy and Mike, and like here's the direction I think we need to go. And you know, you're looking at the phone, and if the phone rings, and you're potentially weighing that option. If a trade comes in, and it can get a little fast and furious. And then there's other times where, you know, you sit there and you've got the guy that you know you're going to pick, and you're waiting on the phone to ring. And it doesn't, you know, which is fine. You've got a player and you're going to take the guy, and you're ready to move, and make the pick. So, there's not a lot of, it's not like the stock market floor where I've never been to the stock market. There's times it looks like it's a free for all down there with people waving and they're on the phone. It's not like that. It's, you know, it's pretty calm. It's pretty collected. And, you know, looking at the board and zeroing in on the guy we're going to take. And if the phone rings and make a trade, we pull that trigger. Now, I would say that if the trade goes through, and it's a deal that you want to do, then it gets a little fast and furious because you've got to call, the league. You've got to call and make sure they get it. The other team that you're trading with, they have to call in, you know, the same conditions on the trade. And as you inch closer to time running out, you got to make sure that stuff gets in. And Vin Marino usually handles that conversation with the league. I'm on the phone with the other GM, and I'm waiting for him to give me the thumbs up that we've moved the pick.
Is any of this done like texting, you know, between GMs to make it quicker? Or is it always, you know, the straight up phone call?
It's usually in the latter rounds. You'll do texting. Hey, you want us to come up to? We're at, you know, 222. You want to come up for next year 6? And they'll shoot me a thumbs up and hey, let me get back to you on that. And then they'll call really quick. It's usually a call. I don't know that we've ever, crystallized a trade by a text.
Like a smiley face emoji, and it's all good.
Yeah, thumbs down. Yeah, thumbs down. We'll give you a seventh round pick to come up to 22 from the third round. That's probably going to be a thumbs down emoji or a frowny face.
John, the big board. I'm fascinated by the big boards. Different teams, you know, obviously have a different number. You know, like, can you tell us right now what your total number is on your big board or whatever you call it?
Like draftable grades, you know, you probably have close to 200 on the draftable grade board. You know, ideally, you want to be working with a little bit less than that. That's a little bit much to kind of get through. But I'd say on an average year, you're looking anywhere between 175 to 200 names on your, you know, on the draft. We'll call it the draftable board.
And that's every year about the same for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it might vary a little bit, you know, here and there, but I'd say on average that's probably fair. You know, it's not like we're looking at 1,000 names up there. I mean, that's way too many names to process. You got to kind of narrow the scope down. Now, when we start the process, there's obviously more on there. I think put an exact number on it, but we at one point, I don't know if it was this year or one draft, we had, you know, over 300 on there. And again, that's way too many as well. You start to pare that down through the process. You know, our initial draft meetings, it's probably when that 300 number was on the board, and then we slowly, you know, kind of whittled that number down to, you know, the closer to that 175, 200 number.
John, what are the factors that you weigh when making the decision either to trade up and move up in the draft or to trade back as well? What are kind of some of the checklist items that you run through in order to make those decisions?
Yeah, I think that you're looking at the teams in front of you if you're looking to move up, and the player or players that you're, you know, contemplating taking at your pick. Are they going to be able to kind of weather the storm at the three or four picks in front of you? While also being cognizant of teams behind you that may also be in the same hunt for the same position group or same, you know, potential set of players. And then if you have a pool of players enough, let's just say that, you know, we're one pick away and we're looking at four players that we are considering taking, and the phone rings, how many picks behind, our pick, is that team, and can we still get one of those four players? We'd be happy with any one of the four at that pick back there, or do we think that those four are going to be gone and then we would be picking from, you know, kind of another pool of players? And what's the compensation to move back? Is that just too good to pass up and you're willing to lose one of those, call it four guys, for the extra compensation pick wise that you're going to get?
We're with Titans GM John Robinson right now. John, on the idea of best available versus need, like I would expect, you know, if the best available player you had up right now when your pick came up was a running back, I would think you probably wouldn't take the running back because of your situation. But I'm interested, you know, let's say, you know, I don't know, like a defensive lineman. I mean, obviously, you guys – got Danico Autry, you've bolstered yourself there. You know, is that a position that you feel like you could still potentially go to in this draft, and you know, that you would consider that if it came up and it was a best available situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we could always, you know, there's several positions that you know, we feel like we have good players out on this team now. But you never know, and I kind of alluded to this just in my presser, that unfortunately injuries happen in this game. Not that we want any, knock on wood as I bang my head, that you know, we don't have any, you know, major ones this next fall. But you've got to have depth on your football team, good depth, starting, ideally starting depth. It doesn't always happen that way. But guys that can step up and step in, you know, when needed. And you don't know, you know, how long you're going to have players. Sometimes, you know, when free agency hits, we saw that this past season with, you know, several of our guys, you know, getting good contracts, and I'm proud for them. But you got to have some, you know, you need to have guys that kind of in your system, if you will, that are ready to step up, you know, for those players that either, you know, may be injured, may be out for a couple weeks, or move on, you know, when their contracts are up.
We always hear about misinformation this time of year, John. Do you put misinformation out there?
I do not. I plead the fifth on that. I will neither confirm nor deny any type of information.
Is there a lot of it, like in general, from front offices, from GMs, a lot of it this time of year, trying to throw curveballs at people?
Yeah, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, you know, this time of year. You know, you're trying to, you know, throw teams off your scent a little bit and not, you know, not really know, you know, not tip your hand too much. Some teams, inevitably, they can't help themselves. They'll talk, or some people within the organization will talk, and we get the information, and that helps. We try to keep things close to the vest here, though, as best as possible, because I think that, you know, from a strategy standpoint, you know, it's much like a game plan on Sundays. You know, you don't want your opponent to know exactly what you're going to do, and it's the same thing as we're trying to attack this draft.
John, before we let you go here, I know the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, very important to you and your family. I also have type 1 diabetes as well. So just want to thank you for the work that you do on that front, and know that's a very important thing to you and your family as well.
No, I appreciate that. We just wrapped up the gala this past weekend. We raised $1.87 million, with a lot of generosity around Middle Tennessee and the entire state. And it's an organization that, unfortunately, we are a part of. However, we're blessed to have to met a lot of great people and try to do a lot of great things with that organization to try to find a cure, you know, so that everybody in our lives that has to deal with it, you know, hopefully we can find a cure and stamp it out here one of these days.
Well said. Titans General Manager John Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So John, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck this week in the draft. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. Titans General Manager John Robinson here on the program with us. We'll react a little bit of what J-Rob had to say when we come back. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on Thursday and Friday on 102.5 The Game, presented by Founders Brewing, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and mtgrt.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Be sure to join us on site as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live beginning at 6 p.m. on Thursday from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark, and on Friday from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Just a couple of days away from the beginning of the NFL draft. Looking very much forward to that coming up here in a couple of days, and you can join us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Titans General Manager John Robinson for joining us in the last segment. What did you think of some of his comments there? You tried to get him to tip his hand a few times. Didn't quite go down that road there, but did admit there's a lot of misdirection in the league this time of year.
I was going to actually ask about Bisjan Krarmor, made-up player.
Yes.
On the D-tackle. He didn't.
Similar to Kladavion Jowney.
Exactly.
Yes.
And we know how that turned out. But I felt like he didn't shoot down the idea of a defensive lineman.
No?
I mean, that's got, like, best available. There's only two positions, right?
You're not taking a quarterback. You're not taking a running back.
And then probably not a safety, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. Like, the safety doesn't seem like a great safety crop this year.
Does not.
But, it's those two, basically. So, interesting answer on the misinformation too. I kind of thought he'd be like, oh, of course we don't do that. It's like recruiting, like college football,
plead the fifth.
You know, we don't negative recruit. They negative recruit against us. Yeah. Like, yeah, you all negative recruit, and they all put out misinformation. But I like that he threw a little shade at, like, some teams like to talk.
They can't help themselves.
Talking about the Niners, maybe.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the Cowboys.
They do like to talk, don't they?
Yes, they do.
But the draft board, about consistent, that's about the norm, 175 to 200 or so. Like he said, the draftable board is what they call it. I did get the sense that, and like he said, so okay, last year is sub 50, this year is 65-70 on a normal scale, right? But I did get the sense that maybe the medical guys might be a little less likely for them this year. Because
yeah,
they didn't get their full, you know, their full. Even, I mean, the medical people are going back to colleges to get information, stuff like that.
It's a lot.
You know, it's, hey, get as much as you can, but that's not the same.
It's not the same. I mean, we've talked about John Robinson not being afraid to go out and draft some of those guys that have, you know, a medical history. Corey Davis coming in. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, he had torn ACL when he was drafted. So that's the reason he probably fell as far as he did in the draft to the Titans. But John Robinson's not been afraid to go that route. I do wonder this year, when the information is just not the same with some of these guys, how does that affect? Like, the guy I had in mind asking that question is Caleb Farley. Like, Caleb Farley, if he's not having back surgery, maybe the first cornerback taken in this draft. Like, if he's there for you, if you're the Titans, how big of a concern is that he's had these back surgeries? You would think you know a lot about it. I mean, obviously his back surgeries have gained a lot of attention compared to, you know, some fourth rounder who's going through surgeries here. So you would think a lot of the information's out there. And Drew Rosenhaus, Caleb Farley's agent, is just convinced that he's going in the top 20 at this point based on the teams he's talked to.
Well, he's a very reliable source.
Yeah, he's a very reliable source of information for sure. I just wonder, like, if Caleb Farley is there for the Titans at 22, do you go that route again and maybe take a flyer on an injured guy who obviously has got a lot of talent and hope that it works out for you and that he could stay healthy? I wonder if that's less likely in this draft this year.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it is. You know, Jalen Phillips is another guy. I think Jalen Phillips could potentially fall. Most people feel like he'll be gone, but he's another one of those guys. Ton of talent. Very intriguing as a player in this league. And talk about if it worked out, what a benefit it would be to add him to that edge group. But also a lot of medical stuff with him. So, yeah, I think obviously, and Bud Dupree, I mean, he just signed him with an ACL. That is one question we didn't get to, pass rush. Well, we could have talked all day with different questions. But, you know, the edge rush situation and how they feel about it at this moment. I don't think there's any question they're going to – well, there's always some question, but I'll be shocked if they don't address it somewhere.
No, like
relatively high in the draft.
I would agree. And look, I mean, I think you feel better about it. You've got Bud Dupree, you've got Harold Landry, and I think especially if Dupree can stay healthy, I think you feel a lot better about it than you did certainly at the midway point of last season where it was just a total black hole over there on that side of the ball. But you still got to have depth. Like, you're one injury away from either Landry or Dupree to basically going back to having nothing. So, I mean, you've got to find a way to add depth there. I have no doubts the Titans are going to do that in some fashion in this draft. Maybe it's not the first pick, but at some point, I think pretty high, you're going to have to address edge rusher still.
Yeah, I mean, some of this draft is going to be a commentary on how they feel about certain guys. I mean, look, right now, they'll say, hey, Kevin Johnson, Janoris Jenkins, Christian Fulton, starting cornerbacks. Those are starting cornerbacks. I suspect we'll see pretty soon here, pretty quickly, once the draft gets going, that position addressed. I just can't imagine that they wouldn't. You know, I don't trust Kevin Johnson as a starter.
No.
Maybe prove me wrong. And I understand sometimes when a guy underperforms a really high draft slot that – you know, it's kind of like Matt Duchene with Preds fans, like, sit him down. You know, he's not earning $8 million. Well, he's maybe, but no, you don't sit him down. So maybe Kevin Johnson just, he's way under his draft slot, but he's still an effective player. I just, based on what I've seen, I would not trust that. And I think that they will go out and get a corner. You know, corner and receiver, inside or outside.
Yeah.
Is that a focus? Do they get both of either position? I don't think they're going to get both of both.
And it was interesting yesterday, too, when John Robinson was talking about, like, the slot receiver. I mean, he brought up, all right, like, how much can he play on the outside? Can he add anything in the kicking game as well? Like, if it's just purely a slot guy, how high do you draft that if you're the Titans? Like, it sounded to me, and maybe you're just reading too much into an answer, but it sounded to me like John Robinson, if you're drafting a receiver that high, like at 22, he better be able to do more than just play in the slot. That's the way I read it.
And it sounded kind of like what people say about
Elijah Moore. Yeah. Hey, connecting dots here on the program. That's what we do, battling against misinformation. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the draft, including a couple of very interesting reports coming from Mel Kiper Jr. and from Todd McShay as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.